Hello, and welcome to the recording for Sittingbourne Baptist Church. This recording is for the kids in the way who are in year 7 and older for the 19th of July. I hope you enjoy all that we're going to be talking about, and I hope you are keeping safe. Right, before we go any further, a little game. Okay, so 5 clues. And you get 5 points, 4 points, 3 points, depending on how many clues you've got. So, today, for 5 points, I am thinking of something you find in the sitting room or the living room. For 4 points, it is rectangular in shape. For 3 points, you do not find it in every house. For 2 points, you can get light and heat from it. And for 1 point, it can sometimes be smoky. So, how did you do? Were you thinking of a fireplace? Because that's what I was thinking of. And if you said fireplace, then well done. So today we're continuing our series on things that Christians should know. And this is the 6th part of the series. And today we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer in the Bible can be found in 2 places. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and also Luke chapter 11, starting from verse 2. Right, well, the account in Luke is a bit easier to track how we ended up talking about the Lord's Prayer, because there it tells us that Jesus was talking to the disciples. If we look, Jesus was praying, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And that gives us the idea that the disciples had seen Jesus praying. They had seen the peace, the power, and the joy that he got from prayer, and they saw how effective it was in his life. And they wanted that same presence. So sometimes we might see good things in other people or the people around us. And we should try to emulate that. We should try to imitate good things when we see them. If somebody is very good at timekeeping, for example, then it can help us to learn to be good at timekeeping. So the disciple comes and asks Jesus to teach them how to pray. And the Lord's Prayer that comes out of this is like a template. It's a framework. It's a guide of how to pray. You can say the Lord's Prayer all the time, but really we should be using it as a way of seeing how we can change the words to suit our individual circumstances. I'll give you an example of how to do this right at the end. So, the 2 versions in Matthew and in Luke, they're not very different. There's some things that Luke leaves out, but in essence, they really are not that different. I'm going to be using the version in Matthew, and it's chapter 6, starting from verse 9. Now, at the beginning of this, Jesus, in verse 1, up to verse 9, he talks about different ways to behave and how you should pray and how you shouldn't pray, announcing it to everybody, and how you shouldn't sort of use lots of big words to impress people that are hearing you close by, because prayer is really communication to God, between you and God. So it shouldn't be something that you do for other people's hearing. I remember when my kids were small and it would be their turn to pray, and sometimes you could hardly understand what they were saying, but I used to say amen to that, because it was more about God hearing their heart's cry and whatever things they were praying about, God knew what they were saying. So that was enough. And even when you pray for other people, you should do it with the faith that God knows the situation better than you. So although you might be praying for their legs to get better, if there's another, something else that needs to be more urgently dealt with, then you should be pray with the idea that, Lord, you know this person better than I do, and you know the issues that are most immediate in their lives. And then God also reminds us that, you know, he reminds us of that by saying that, so when you're giving or when you're doing things, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. You don't have to sort of look for where the reward is. And then in verse 5, Jesus starts talking about prayer, and he says, don't be like the hypocrites, because they do things to show other people, and they're not really praying to God. They're praying to be seen. So God will not like that, because he knows what you need before you even ask him. Then in verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when we look at the Lord's Prayer, we see that there are 7 things that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer. 3 of them address God and our relationship to God. And the last 4 address human needs or human concerns. Right? Just like we saw with the 10 commandments, that they could be divided into the first 4 being things to do with God, and then the last 6 things to do with our relationship. This is how the Lord's Prayer is also divided. So the first part, it talks about our Father in heaven. That is not really asking anything. That is just helping us to acknowledge that we are addressing God. We are addressing our Father, who is God. And he's not just a father or father to someone else. He's our Father. So it's a personal relationship. And that's how we should see our prayers to God, as a personal communication with God on a level where he, as a father, loves us, is willing to provide for us, but also willing to discipline us, tell us if we're doing something wrong, help us to lead a good life, help us to grow up and mature. So just like the qualities of a very good father on earth would be, because I know we all have different fathers, and some of them might do things that are wrong, or they might not communicate with us in the right way. But God is such an ideal father. He gets everything right. He is like super dad. So when we're talking to him or when we're praying, we should recognize that we're dealing with our Father. But he's not here on earth. He's in heaven. So that, again, helps us to remember the authority that God has, that he's up there in heaven. And our first petition really recognizes that, because the first thing that we ask for is, hallowed be your name. Let your name be made holy. So we are asking that God helps us to acknowledge how important and how precious and how much his name means to us. So we say, hallowed be your name. That's the first thing that we ask for. And we're really acknowledging that God is holy. The second thing is we say, your kingdom come. And we're asking for God's authority. A king is someone in authority. So if we're asking for God's kingdom to come here on earth, we are asking for him to be the king and the ruler of our lives and our situation. And we're asking that in this place where I am, I want your kingdom to come. I want you to be in charge, and I want you to take charge. And the third thing we ask is, your will be done. on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's quite a big one, because we're saying we want God's will above our will. We want God and whatever God wants to happen to our day to be the thing that happens, not what we want or what we think is a good idea. We want God's will to be done, because that's how heaven is ruled. Heaven is governed by God's will. Only the thing that God wants to happen are going to happen in heaven. And when we're praying this and saying, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying we want this earth to be ruled by your authority and by your will, just like as what happens in heaven. So we're really giving the power and the control over to God. And then we start asking for the things that we need, which I think is a very, very good framework to have, because when we go to God, we have to acknowledge that we're not just talking to our friend. We're talking to somebody very, very important. And we should give him that love and that respect first before we start asking for things. Even if my kids wanted something and they came rushing up to me and they started off with their little list of things that they wanted, I would have to stop them there and say, whoa, 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 whoa. No. First, at least say good morning, you know? At least acknowledge me and say hello, and maybe a little kiss would be nice, you know? And if I, as a person, am asking that, then we should know that God deserves that. Even he shouldn't have to ask us to acknowledge the fact that we respect him. So we should first show God's respect before we start asking for the things that we need. And the first thing we ask for is, give us our daily bread. Now, this is the part that gives the idea that this is a prayer that we should say every day, because we're asking for that day's bread. And it's not just the bread that we eat. We're not just asking for our physical food. We also have spiritual needs. We talked about that when we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit a few weeks ago. So one of the things that we need to ask God for is our daily patience, our daily courage. We might need daily confidence. So all these things are part of our daily bread, and we should ask God to give them to us. So we should think, we should plan ahead and try and work out what our activities are that we need that day. Every day we're going to need wisdom. And we should ask God for the wisdom that we need for that day. So let's give us our daily bread. And then the fifth thing that we ask for is forgiveness. And we say, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Now, we might have people that we have done something wrong to. So we are in debt to those people. We owe them an apology, and we would be asking for their forgiveness. But there would also be people that have done something wrong to us. So that's what we are asking here, that God looks at those two relationships and makes sure that we forgive other people. And the only reason we forgive other people is because God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us a lot of things that we have done wrong. Sometimes even just not acknowledging that God is in charge and in control of our life is a sin. So we have a lot to ask God for forgiveness for. And the minute we ask him for forgiveness, he forgives us. So we should use that same principle with other people. Sometimes we might even have to forgive people who haven't even asked for our forgiveness. But because we want to live a peaceful life on earth, without the burden of carrying all this unforgiveness or thinking about, oh, this person hurt me all the time, we need to let people go and just let them, you know, let whatever they've done not hurt us for a long time. So we have to forgive other people. But we can do that, and we should do that easily, because God forgives us the bad things that we have done. And then we ask for spiritual things here. Lead us not into temptation. There are a lot of things that could tempt us not to, you know, to do things that are bad. We could be tempted to steal. We could be tempted to be angry with somebody and shout and scream in their face. We could be tempted to eat too much, or maybe to be too lazy not to do the work we're supposed to do. We could be tempted to just sit on our, sit down and not do the work we're supposed to do, especially during this holiday time. I know sometimes when I ask my kids to do something, I have to remind them that they've really not done very much at all. So like me asking them to do one small little thing is not too much. So we could be tempted, not just in physical things or in practical things, we could be tempted in our emotions. So we have to ask God to help us, to lead us away from that temptation even before we see it. Because sometimes we do not always know the things that could be, you know, trying to hurt us or trying to get in our way. And then the last thing that we ask for is to be delivered from the evil one. That God would, like a little parcel, make sure that we do not land on the wrong doorstep. That we do not end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we don't end up in the wrong company, where the devil could use his agents or people that follow him to trip us up and move us away from God. Because every time we do something wrong, it's like we're taking a step away from God. God never leaves us, but because we sin and if we do bad things, then we take ourselves away from God's presence. And we shouldn't want to do that. Now, that's actually where the Lord's Prayer ends in Matthew and in Luke. But as we know, if you know the Lord's Prayer, you know it goes on a little bit more. And it goes, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." That part was added on at a later date. And it's not actually recorded in the Gospels. But it's quite a nice way of rounding things up again. And acknowledging that it's really God whose kingdom we want. We want him to be the king of our lives. Thine is the kingdom, the power. We should acknowledge that God is the one who gives us the power to be able to do anything. Our very lives is our gift from God, and we should use them very carefully. So he has the power to help us to move on and to do great things. And the glory. The glory is like the person who gets acknowledgement when good things happen. So whenever, even if we do something good, we should still acknowledge the fact that it was God who gave us the power or the food that enabled us to be able to do that good thing. Sometimes we can get a good idea and it's like a flash and it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, really. But we're like, "Oh, I've just had a great idea." And it's like, well, no, actually, God reminded you to do that thing at the right time, or God has given you the wisdom to do that at the right time. So all the things that we do, the way this prayer ends, is acknowledging that, "God, it's your kingdom. We're asking your kingdom to come. You're the one who is in charge, who has authority. And it's your power that you give me to be able to do it. And because of that, I am giving you the glory. I am saying thank you and well done, God. Even though I'm the one who might have done a good thing, I acknowledge that it was through your power that I was able to do that good thing." So giving God the glory is an important part of our lives. It also keeps us very humble. It helps us to remember where we are in the stacking order, really. God is in overall charge. And anytime he allows us to do something good, we should really appreciate him for that. So that's it with the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to say a prayer that sort of gives you an idea of how you can use this as a template. So, Heavenly Father, I praise you and I acknowledge the fact that you are in heaven and that you are more important than anything else in heaven or on earth or below the earth. So I ask that your name be glorified in my life today. I ask that you come and take control and rule and reign in every area of my life, that it will not be what I want that happens, Lord, but what you want, which is more important than my life. As I go through my day today, Lord, I ask that you help me to remember that I've asked for your will to be done, that if things don't go my way, I will remember that that might be your will, and therefore I will find peace in all the decisions that happen today. Lord, I ask for your daily bread. I ask for patience to deal with my children. I ask for energy to do all the work I need to do. I ask for a grateful heart that remembers the wonderful things that you have done for me. And I pray, O Lord God, for every bit of food that I eat, that I will be grateful for it, and I will acknowledge that it is you that sets the table for me to enjoy that food. I pray that you will help me to find it easy to forgive people that hurt me, even when they hurt me unintentionally, even when they don't even realize that they are hurting me. Help me to release them by forgiving them whatever bad things they might do to me. And Lord, I thank you because I know that you have forgiven me all of the sins I bring before you. If there is anything I have forgotten, please help me to bring it before you so that you can forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you, O Lord, that today you will help me not to be tempted by anything. I pray that you will give me the strength to stand up to any temptation, that I will not think bad thoughts about anyone, and I will not say bad things about people, that I will have the strength and the wisdom to say good things that build others up and encourage them. And Lord, I pray that you will keep me far away from the devil today, that even when he comes creeping up and I can't see the things he's putting before me to try and lure me away from you, that Lord, you will help me to be strong and to move away from him and not be tempted to hold his hand and walk away or do things that would hurt other people. All this I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who is in absolute control of everything. Lord Jesus, I give you full authority, and I ask that you come in the shape of the Holy Spirit and be with me all day today and help me and guide me to live a good day that shows and affects other people around me. Amen. So, I hope you've enjoyed today's sesh, and I hope it blesses you and helps you to keep safe. Bye, and God bless you.